I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Dumby Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that has centered an Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the Bijou Caravan, that is Roifield Brown. And with me out the Leaky Porter cabin, that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of our invasion of the Pickers, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumby Dum, we brought it up from the past. It's those cute kids from the Arabian Gulf who use the archers as a tool to learn the Queen's English. So they do. It's just so lovely and heartwarming. I think we'll be doing this to death in the next few weeks, Luce.
Why, is no one sending them in?
In a nutshell.
Come along! Chop, chop! Get Dumpty Dumming! You all hum it along. You may as well just record yourself while you're at it.
Exactly. Now, the thing is, right, if we get, let's say, on average, 7 calls a week, to say on average, right, really, we should be having 7 Dumpty Dums a week. Because you do your call, and then at the end, you just do a Dumpty Dum.
Yeah.
It's no reason not to.
No.
Arguably, it's harder to do the call than it is the dum-de-dum. Because you've got to think of something to say.
But there's people get all funny about singing in public, don't they?
They could tap a dum-de-dum, hum a dum-de-dum.
We're not expecting, you know, Kathleen Ferrier or anything.
Ooh.
Oh, old opera singer. It's fine.
Right. I just don't see the reason why people don't do it. It's actually getting upsetting now. Just saying. But if somebody wants to not upset me, Lucy, how can they do that?
It's very hard to not upset you when you're in some moods. Anyway, if you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum and cheer Roifield up, leave us a plot prediction or pretend that 65 million pigs all crammed into one room are not going to smell, then call us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and personal pension tips. And for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shedcode for sponsoring us, Shambridges for last week. Thank you very much, Harriet. And Derek, they're in the back bedroom. I was talking to Derek earlier about my Yorkshire holiday that I was on last week. Yeah. It was very lovely. He's given me some tips for next time.
Is it Scarborough?
No, it was in the Yorkshire Dales near Hawes.
Nice.
He said the best view in the Dales is to be found at the top of Lord Hereford's Knob, but it makes your legs ache the next day.
Oh, what you like, you. Now, Lucy,
Yes.
On this week's episode, we have calls from Claire from Clapham, who says it should be homes for all. Robert Wilson, who agrees with Toby. Lord Louise, who loves a bit of Lily. Andrew Horn, who wants the number of Lillian's builder. And Goddess Diva, she's back, who wants to have a few words with our Lillian. But first, before the caller inners, top bit of the show. Missed you last week, Lucy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, show ain't the same without your monologue. You know, don't get me wrong, right? Shambridge's was all rather good, right? But you know what? This is your time to shine. It's Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
Tom is still banging on about fermented foods. No, I'm sorry, you can call it kefir and kimchi all you like, but fermented food is still compost. Lillian had a fantastic time leaping around in a leather catsuit pretending to be Purdy from the Avengers with the speed gun. Gemma Hawkins and Leah Roy were both going caught too slow, but that's because they caught sight of Lillian and drove into the hedge. Apparently, we are now calling Open Farm Sunday OFS, or Fun Farm Sunday, which is FFS, much more appropriate. Freddie had a bad algebra test. It wasn't the equations he couldn't do. He couldn't remember the order of the ABC bit. Pip is now living at Lower Loxley. She is sharing the writing desk with Titcomb. Over at Barrow, Justin is going to fill it with 15,000 tons of pig shit and a can of haze the size of a Trident missile. Krusty says there'll be a storm of protest. To paraphrase Victoria Wood, people will go, mwah. Chris silently won the Wingle Sicket. Alice, who has now included mass catering for the pickers in her never-ending job description, had a couple of WKDs and started telling everyone about the Barrow in the BL board meeting. Most women get a bit pissy boots, tell people they've always been very fond of them, start ranting about something that happened in 1982, attempt to redo their eyeliner and have a bracing chat with themselves in the mirror of the ladies, feel a bit icky and go home. Not start recounting dates and board meeting agenda items. Tracy Horobin is back. Hoorah! Yay! She has scented young blood and is prowling around the village slavering. I am anticipating a John Archer Sharon situation with Freddie Pargiter. It's odd when she popped up. Neil and Susan both said casually, "Oh, hello, Tracy." It still comes as a surprise to me that the characters don't say, "Bloody hell, Tracy, where the hell have you been? We haven't seen you for about 6 months, but we did hear you on Dumpty Dumble a couple of weeks back." Kenton was in great spirits, having been allowed to blow the fluff out of his loudhailer, play appalling music over and over again, and commentate on the Wingle Sicket, while admitting that he doesn't actually know anything about cricket. Being offered £1 million for a field in Bridge Farm even perked Pat up briefly. She might invest in something frivolous, like a rotary washing line. With typical Bridge Farm Archer eccentricity, Justin came over and waved a check at them, and rather than snatching it with a scream of delight, they started telling him anecdotes about nitrate fertiliser. Oh, Bridge Farm, never knowingly normal. They're going to have trouble with Helen, who is already ranting on about the pig poo factory. Oh, all anyone cares about is jobs, she said crossly. Well, yes, people that aren't set to inherit a farm do tend to worry about that kind of thing, Helen, yes. In other news from the overprivileged, you can spot rich people as they never know when it's bank holiday. Justin didn't have a clue. Tobes has decided that he cannot see Pip after all. There she is, look over there. It was all very bewildering. Last week, she said that he kept texting her. Then this week, he said she was texting him. I've just realised it sounds like Vicky Pollard. No, but yeah, but he was like texting her and she got well pissed off. And then he made her stop in the tractor and she was giving him evils. And then he got well jealous because of Todd. And she was only like speaking to him. And that's so anyway or nothing. So also, he doesn't seem able to speak to her within the hours of daylight. For the third time, he woke Pip up in the middle of the night. If anyone wakes me up in the middle of the night for stupid reasons, they are lucky to emerge with their knackers intact. But she seems remarkably sensitive about it. So what do we have to look forward to? There are a number of storylines brewing away in a bucket like Tom's fermented foods. Will Lillian turn out to be Justin's new PA and stop being paid for simply putting out? Will Pip start to miss Toby now he said he's not interested? How long will it be before Anisha whips out Lily's eye? And thanks to Justin Elliott, a massive pile of poo. But then we always have that. It is the Archers after all. The end.
That was awesome. Your Matt Lucas is on point. Oh my god! Do that again. Do that like that.
Don't mean something or anything or nothing. That's what makes me laugh. I watched the American one when they tried to translate Vicky Pollard into American, and they had her at a summer camp, and it was like a drugs counseling camp, and they were saying, why are you here? And they talked to a Californian girl, and she said, well, you know, I've been feeling a little bit lost, and I was experimenting with drugs, and da 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 da. And then they said, what about you, Vicky? And she said, it's not, I've only tried drugs like once for 8 years. David Williams was absolutely brilliant as a Californian drugs counselor. He was absolutely excellent. Oh. But yes, that's how I spent my morning. 5:30 this morning, I was practicing Vicky Pollard impressions in bed.
That was time well spent. Well spent. Well done. Bravo to you, madam. And then you ended it in soap style.
I did. What will happen next? Will be. It's a bit like, was it on the Muppets? Pigs in Space, when they had... No. Will this happen?
No.
Or will that happen? Or was that?
Well,
was that...
yeah, but it was famously it was soap, the late 1970s American comedy, sitcom. Oh. Yeah, that's what. Well, other shows have actually copied it, but yeah, it was. You know what, Luce? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm standing up. I really enjoyed that this week. Now, shall we crack on with the caller interest? Because I know you've got somewhere you need to be.
I have.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first?
Shall we do Goddess Diva first? Goddess Diva, you seem to be recording from the bottom of a bucket again. I'm not sure what you're doing. You also sound quite tired. So you'll have to focus, listeners. Strain your little luggles.
Hi, I'm Goddess Diva here. Just ringing in to say stop it, Lillian. Just stop it. Making an idiot of yourself just because he shagged you doesn't mean he's going to shag his secretary. Just stop. And to be honest, even if his secretary is older, so are you. Get a grip. All right, let me know. I'll see you out.
Lillian, well, yes, she is making a bit of an idiot of herself. But, you know, if you're going out with somebody who left their wife for you, it must be very hard not to, you know, wonder who is next on the old conveyor belt. And I think that's what she's doing, but it's not very dignified, is it? Mm. It's not very... It shows a massive lack of self-confidence, but then Lillian wouldn't be Lillian if she was self-confident. A lot of her eccentricity and her slightly off-the-wallness is because of her her lack of self-confidence, isn't it? She's sort of a bit...
Well, but she portrays such great bravado there, doesn't she? You know,
yeah.
Outwardly, she's got it all going on. She's the centre of attention. She would be a great party host, etc., etc. You know, things gravitate to her. People gravitate to her in a social setting. But I just think, I wouldn't say that she lacks confidence. I just say she's actually just pretty human. When she has her quiet moments, we all think we're a bit crappy, really, don't we?
Yeah. You know,
and that we're all putting on a front.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just... jealousy is never a good look, is it?
Mm.
It makes you feel shit. It makes the person you're feeling jealous of feel shit. Nobody comes out of it well. It's just a really uncomfortable thing, and it's horrible, and it sort of tears people in. And I think it turns people inside out, really. But you know, she's got good reason. As you know, she can't forget what Miranda said, because Miranda said was absolutely right. When you marry the mistress, you create a vacancy. And you know, who will it happen again? Is Justin so enamored of Lillian that he is prepared to sacrifice all others? I'm not sure.
The only thing I'd say about all of this, and that's not to say that when you, you know, when the mistress steps up to be the wife, there's a vacancy. I think that's a very neat and cute, is it aphorism? But anyway, whatever. All right, it's kind of perfect. He's not getting any younger, is he? All right, and it's got to come a point when you just slow down. Just like, like Brian... You know, he's not worrying any of the young women anymore.
Yeah, but did you hear him talking to Anisha and to Pip? There was a real hello thing when he said to Pip, hello, why are you all dolled up? It was... And then we went all hello, talking to Anisha as well. And I thought, oh, Brian, put it away. Hide it behind your cravat or something, for God's sake. Ugh.
Mm,
You know, it doesn't, in my experience, they don't get any better as they get older.
No, but no, but they just don't have the ability to do what they used to do when they were younger, when they're older. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, the mind might be willing, but the flesh isn't when you hit a certain age, when you're a gentleman.
It's very brave of you, Royf, to talk about this, because I know it's a difficult issue for a lot of men, and I'm very proud of you for talking about your own.
Oh, you bitch. That was just between us. Yes.
Shall we... The lift not going to the top floor anymore, Royf.
No.
Are you the Isle of Man or whatever it was?
No, I'm definitely Mullican Tyre. Yeah, I tell you. Right. After you just destroyed me sexually, shall we move on to the next call?
Well, yes, by 10:54 on a Monday morning, I have destroyed Royfield sexually. Goals. Andrew Horn.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here. I know I haven't called in for a while, but that's because I haven't been inspired. I have been listening both to The Archers and Dumpty Dum. So a couple of thoughts from the recent weeks. We've seen a lot of Pip the Martyr. So I think she is well practicing. She's picked up the genes from her aunt and she's practicing to take over from Shula in a few years. But she's certainly got that one taped. Now, Toby, I saw someone mentioned the we can't be friends and that conversation as possibly a sign of Toby maturing. And I read it completely the other way. For me, it just underlines his complete lack of any emotional maturity. The fact that he cannot remain friends or in the same room and Pip or same village, Pip has to avoid him. Come on, Toby, grow a pair. And final quick point, Lillian's, I know she's in the trade, she's got lots of lets, but even so, to find a builder available to do a bathroom in 2 weeks at no notice, they're either rubbish or you've got some serious photos and can pull yourself to the front of the queue. Anyway, that's it for me at the moment. Keep up the good work, everyone, and I'll see if I can arrange some drinks over the summer in London. Speak to you all soon. Bye.
Yes. Well, not only can he start within 2 weeks, this builder, this mythical builder of which we have heard tell, but he can also do the entire tiling alone. It takes about 10 days. How the hell they're going to do all this stuff? And do you know, Lillian is getting right up my nose at the moment. She's kidding herself completely that she's happy. Well, I really hope she's kidding herself. That she's happy, you know, piddling on about. That's more Jenny's style, tiddling on about what sort of bloody bath to get and what colour tiles and what, you know. That's not Lillian.
Yeah, but she is a property developer. Come on.
Yeah. Right?
And it, you know, and she's going to have. Bearing in mind, she did dress the Dower House for Justin as well. So actually, she's got an eye for this type of stuff. And professionally, she should know what the hell she's talking about because she's been developing properties via Amside. So
well,
she's going
to
be...
forgotten about. Glad you remember because she hasn't clearly got a clue that that's what she's supposed to be doing. You might want to drop her a line and nudge her. I find it really tedious in real life, and I find it really, really tedious on The Archers interior decoration. Blech. I had a builder
I couldn't disagree with you more.
What?
Love interiors. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I adore it. And
has this happened since you've become impotent?
Right. Okay. Right. You're using the platform. Fine. Of our podcast to spread fake news. You're working for Putin or something. Go on. You were about to say.
I once had a builder guy working here who he's a friend of a friend. He's a lovely, lovely bloke, but he's a real perfectionist, and I really don't care very much. And he said, "Which way round do you want your paving slabs? Do you want them east to west or north to south?" And I said, "I don't care." And he looked really, really upset. as if I'd physically been very rude, as if I'd actually directly been extremely rude to him or thumped him or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, you can't not care. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I don't mind. And he said, no, you have to have an opinion on this. So I said, well, which way round would you have them if they were in your house? And he said, east to west. And I said, well, that sounds marvellous. Then let's do that. And then he was quite happy again. But the idea that, you know, people care that much about taps. And I know she said it's because you can fit both people in if you. If I love that Jennifer's. Oh, Lillian. Love that. When you can't have a bath together. Oh, Lillian. You could. I doubt Jenny's even seen Brian brush his teeth. But I just find it really difficult to get interested in, and even less interested on the bloody radio.
No. This stuff's important, Lucy. It's very important. It's very important. Even like the colour of grout. You know, you're grouting. Ah! You know, it's all important. You know, depending on what the colour of the tile is, the colour of the grout makes such a massive difference. Now, I've got a dilemma for you, right? Because you're a pinko socialist, do good in tree hugger, aren't you? Yeah. Right. So, you believe in the rehabilitation of crims. Yeah, you don't want to just throw away the key.
Hang on. I don't remember saying that. But well, yes,
well,
carry
it, on. Follows. It follows that okay. You believe that we all can be rehabilitated, right? That you know, man is not inherently evil.
Yeah, I do. Yes, I believe man is not inherently evil.
All right. So, friend of mine was telling me this story. Step Peggy. Well, of course, you know, even Titchy Knob, but not Peggy. Yeah. But anyway, so friend of mine was saying, right? So, she has to. She needs some work doing on her place, and. She got three quotes.
Yeah.
One of them was recommended by a neighbour, you know, one of these builders that kind of came round. And his quote was like way out the ballpark. I thought, not going to have that. One was it felt a little bit too cheap. Then this lovely guy turned up and it was the quote that was in the middle and he was recommended by the neighbour. So I decided to go with him. Saw the neighbour a couple of days later and said, I'm going to go with Percy, the bloke that you decided. Right now, this work is some steps up to a door. It's going to take about 3 days. You know, it's proper work that needs doing. She's going to have a couple of days off work, she says. But maybe I can swing the last day, and that, you know, trust him by then. He can walk in and out the house, make himself cups of tea, get water for his cement. Blah blah blah. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
She said, I decided to go and email him and tell him he's got the gig, and then. Whilst I was on the computer, I thought, let me just go on to, is it Rate a Tradesman or whatever? So I put his name into Google, came up. It's only been done in 2006 for indecent exposure whilst building.
Whilst building?
Yeah, whilst. He was working for somebody, doing building work, and he was walking around in the buff.
No.
And she said...
You call Percy?
Well, that was my name for him, just to protect his identity, Lucy.
John Thomas, we'll call it, yes.
And she said, you couldn't have met a nicer man. And then she said, but it was 2006. So she said, I was just kind of shocked. He says, you know, I'm a single woman. I'm going to be trapped in my house with this beast.
Naked builder.
Yeah, naked builder. So she said, you know, I marched round to the neighbour and said, how well do you know Percy? And it's the neighbour looked sheepishly.
Really well.
She went, oh, have you been on Google? Now, what would you do in this situation, Lucy?
I'd employ him, but I'd say, you keep your clothes on, mush.
And you would confront it and say, I know that you were done 11 years ago for indecent exposure.
And you give him a quick... Give him a quick Google first, I'd say. Yes, I don't think anybody goes for any job nowadays without expecting someone to have checked them out.
I'm
so
with you.
What did she do?
No, I'm with you. And she actually has given him the job, but she doesn't know how to approach the subject of the nudity.
Right.
So if you, good listener, have any suggestions, he's not going to start until late
Supply
June.
Him with a uniform and say, in this house, wear a full body suit at all times.
She was just beside herself. She said, when I went round to the names, he knew exactly when. How well do you know? Have you been Googling? Ah, yes.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by why you'd build in the nip, though.
Well,
I suppose it'd be very hot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, but at least he's doing something. It's not like he's, you know, he's an IT engineer in the nude. That would be weird.
I think,
but you know,
I think this is maybe one for the Witherspoons of this world, because but it's obviously something deep seated when he wants the freedom of Breeze on his nether regions, but also he wants to be spotted.
Yes.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Definitely an exhibitionist.
Yeah, they, you know, so
maybe a big trowel or something. We had a plumber come here once, and there was something, he was doing something in the bathroom, and he said, could I actually just use the loo? So I said, yes, of course. And he said, I know it's ridiculous, but every time I hear the sound of running water, I have to pee. He said, it's
oh,
a
you
nightmare
are
being
joking.
A plumber.
Oh, no! Joe, no, I'm not having that. Oh, stop it.
All the stupid careers to pick. It's a nightmare. Must have a bloody bladder like the size of Scotland. Anyway.
Are we still on Andrew Horn?
I don't know what we're on now.
We are. Andrew Horn.
Andrew Horn.
Yeah, can I just say, I actually disagree with him about whether Toby's been mature or not. And really, this is a Lucy line now. Can we play Robert Wilson's call next to Andrew Horn's?
That's just what I was going to say. Yeah.
Because they disagree with each other.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. It's Naked Fingers here. I'm calling at my new regular time of just after Sunday lunch. And it's been quite a late Sunday lunch. I've still got a glass of red wine with me, though. Claret today. Now, I thought I'd ring in with a confession, a revelation, indeed. And that is that I agree with something Toby has done. Toby was mooning about and he was trying to get back in Pip's knickers and, quite frankly, who knew why? But he has seen the light. He's decided to cut off all communication with her, the Facebook, the Twitters, blocking her mobile number. Just stop mooning about after her and get on with the rest of your life. And that's what he's decided to do. So good on you, Toby. I'd have done the same. You don't need her. She doesn't need you. And maybe you'll bugger off to Brighton eventually. In the meantime, you'll just have to stick to you, Porn. It's done wonders for me. Bye-bye. Oh, sorry. Bollocks.
Andrew says that Tobes needs to grow a pair. Now, one thing that I've realised in the last 3 years of going on life's wondrous journey, Lucy, is that relationships never really end anymore, unless they end spectacularly badly.
Oh.
Yeah, unless they end
spectacularly. Going to disagree now. Spectacularly.
Right. Now, because of smartphones and social media, we all kind of keep tabs on our exes now in a way that we
don't have to. We choose to.
Listen to me. I haven't finished, right? And generally, unless things have, you know, ended spectacularly badly, there's a period of kind of like purdah where you go, right, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't want to see your messages, your group posts or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it kind of, you know, filter slowly back in, you know, but at a low level, right? And I think it's quite natural, though Toby did it in a, I would say, somewhat of a pathetic way. Actually, what he's done makes complete and utter sense. Just to say, you know what, please don't text me and whatever. Mm. I'm, you know, don't even say that. Just block the number. Just block the number so you don't even know when they're trying to call you and stuff, because it makes the healing process a darn sight quicker if you do that. You know, you don't have to declare it in the way that he did. So I don't agree with you, Mr. Andrew Horn. And actually, I agree with Mr. Robert Wilson here. Just saying.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. There is a very good... I have a friend who over the last year has been trying to extricate herself from an affair. Mm-hmm. And she has used, we walk the dog together and have kind of regular weekly updates on how she's doing and how she's feeling. And
have you ever walkie-talkied her?
No, that's a bit.
Oh, that's to come.
Yeah. All right. That would be tricky. Anyway, she has been, the only thing that worked for her was doing this thing called the no contract rule, which is beloved of American divorcees all over the shop. But it does seem to work. They say, you know, for I think it's a month for every year you were together or something like that. You just have no contact whatsoever, no checking social media, no accidentally bumping into them, no going out with friends who know them that might update you, no contacting members of their family, no birthday cards. Even if their parent dies, you don't send them a card, you know, absolutely nothing. Because, and partly it's interesting when you read stuff like Jane Austen, you know, it's people were having to wait 5 days for a letter.
Mm.
So everything slowed down. Everything has speeded up now to such an extent that if we text somebody we're interested in and we don't get a reply within 10 minutes, you start thinking, oh, bastard, you know. But imagine having to just wait that long, or someone goes away and you don't know how long they've gone for, and it could be 6 months. And I've got myself lost in my own sentence here.
No, you've made complete and utter sense.
Basically, it's all speeded up to such an extent that
I would say sped up. I'm a sped up type of person.
Yes, you mean correct, yes. Mm. But sort of, we've all got that kind of...
Imagine that, me correcting you.
I know.
Good heavens.
That kind of the need for instant gratification now, instant. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what's going on. I need to know. Otherwise, there's the fear of missing out. I've lost contact. I've lost my hook into someone else's life. And the only way to do it, I think, is to do that. Absolutely, just cut off everything. Because how can you possibly, you know, comfort zones are so strong in your brain, and your need to sort of go back to old patterns is so unbelievably strong. You really have to, if you give your brain a chance of crawling back to where it used to be, it will go. And you have to sort of physically stop it. And I think I agree, you did it in a typically knobheady, let's blame everyone else sort of way, a Toby sort of way. But I think he's doing absolutely the right thing for once.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only thing, sorry, the only thing I would add to that is you saying that everything has sped up now is that it does mean that actually you can kind of get over somebody a little bit quicker than maybe you could in the 18th or the early 19th century, where people would literally go into mourning for the rest of their lives, you know, at the end of a relationship.
Yes.
And always refer back to it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it is a bit like, you know, well, they've gone, there'll be another person around the corner anytime soon.
Yes.
You know.
Swipe. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you swipe left and then, you know, somebody comes in, exit stage right or whatever the heck it is. But anyway, yes, so we agree that we disagree with you, Andrew Horn, because you're wrong, and Robert Wilson, Mr. Naked Fingers, you is right, who is going to be doing a show with you soon, Lucy. And I tell you what, there's a certain amount of indecent clamouring from the Dumby Dum listeners for this to happen. You bastards, all of you. It's like, I forget who actually said it on the Twitters, but she said, yes, Royfield, give the listeners what they want.
Oh, that's me.
To be fair, didn't actually say give them Royfield, everything, you know, but that was the sentiment. Yeah. Goodness, he's rather popular, isn't he?
It seems to be his ability to say the word bollocks in a very...
Which he does explain on the Twitters. It's about the plosiveness of the B.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Well done, Mr. Naked Fingers.
And the chinking of the glass, that always makes me laugh as well. I'm on claret today. I love the little updates.
Probably means I can wander off into the dum-de-dum sunset.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about me and more about the call winners. Who's next, Lucy?
Lord Louise.
Hello, Lucy Royfield. and a belated hello from last week to Harriet, and of course hello to all the amazing contributors to Dumpty Dum. Lord Louise here. I hope the sound quality of my call is better this week, and I'm sorry if it's not. Please do let me know. First of all, I love the talk from last week's Dumpty Dum of Ambridge character decor. I'm with Royfield that Adam and Ian have some Mapplethorpe pieces around the house, but I believe they're in a tasteful coffee table book of highly artistic male nudes through the ages, not hung up on the wall, but instead safely tucked away on shelf in the bedroom, possibly with a paperback Tom of Finland collection beside it, shelf spined down by Adam. It's just a guess. My favorite part of this week was the laser-like focus and irrefutable logic at work, clearly demonstrating that Susan is the Sherlock Holmes of gossip, a deductive genius worthy of her own gossip-based detective show spinoff, which I would love to listen to. And I know this is a very unpopular opinion, but I really like Lily. I know she's obnoxious in so many ways, but I think she's complicated and strong and driven and clever and learning and flawed and fun. And she's going to be even more of a firecracker as she goes out in the world on her own. I'm excited to see what she does next. And finally, Friday's episode was a poignant reminder in the form of a hurt and confused Jill that while we're each fighting our emotional battles and caught up in our inner wars, it's too easy to let the people we care about go from innocent bystander to victim. Everyone is the hero of their own story, and it takes a great deal of compassion to not become the inadvertent villain. That's all for now. Thanks again for everything, and rock and roll.
Lord Louise, I could not disagree with you more. I want to pull Lily's head off and make her eat it. She is awful. She's like a jigsaw person that's been put together by seven different scriptwriters. I get no sense of one whole person. She's like Hermione sodding Granger on Harry Potter.
Well, and look how she's turned out. Emma Watson's is a fine actress and a beautiful lady. So that's not a bad person to be.
Meant the character.
I know what you meant.
But now, you know, one minute she's all about feminism, the next minute she's insisted on covering Pippin's slap. You know,
well,
you just give
isn't
me
that,
minute.
Isn't that the modern young woman?
She's got that really irritating voice.
Modern young woman.
She goes, you just bit her. She goes, wiggling in to go and interfere with what Elizabeth buggered up for getting to order those flowers.
And she sorted it out. She's efficient. Great communication skills. I tell you what I do like about Lily Pardew, sir. That she's actually very different from all the other women, young women on there. She is different. She isn't a farmer, so you can't imagine her with, you know, dirt under her fingernails, etc. No. She feels like she's actually from another show, and actually being able to differentiate her from the other nice young white middle class ladies, I think this is not a bad move for her to have painted her out in such a way, to be fleshing her out in such a way. I'm actually starting to like her as a character. As a person, I wouldn't like her at all, but you know, she's not in my life telling me what to do. Listening to my radio six times a week, fine.
Boys, I can't bear it.
What, she just sounds like half of the young women in Middle England.
She doesn't sound like anyone I know.
Really?
No.
Well, you go to some of the not that I
no,
go
she
to
does,
these
actually.
Places.
She sounds like, yeah. No, mm. she yeah, she sounds like a lot
you
of
You go guests. To some, in inverted commas, wine bar in Chelsea, yeah. right? You know, yeah. and there's a whole load of women that sound like
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Mm. Can I just say, Lord Louise, you're probably right about the Mapplethorpes. Now, I do like a naked male torso on my wall. I've got a big one above my bed. You remember that, don't you, Lucy?
You've got a naked male torso above your bed.
Yeah, not a real one, decapitated. In a picture frame.
Why?
Because it's a Roman Greco statue in a picture. Okay. And yeah, but it is a naked male torso. And here's the thing. I actually do have, obviously, you know, prints, everybody, a couple of little Mapplethorpes as well. There's this one of this black gentleman who's sturdily built, shall we say, right? He's all in proportion, Lucy, right? But it's actually really tastefully done. Now, when I started Airbnb, and I had this up on my wall.
Why have you got that on your wall?
Because I've got loads of things on my wall. I like art and design. You know this, Lucy. Come on. All right. I've got that. Because Mapplethorpe is an amazing photographer. And I've got that on my wall. I've got 1950s. I've got a Betty Page poster. I've got all manner of things on my wall. And the thing is, it's not even that big. It's not even that big. It's like A4 size.
Hang on. What are we talking about? Oh, the painting is... Okay, right. No, never mind.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm just saying, right, I've got the cover of the Black Panther book on my wall, the cover of Vogue on my wall. I've got a whole load of things. That is not a centerpiece. When I started Airbnb and out my place, about the third or the fourth guest in, I walked in after they checked out. My picture had gone. And I went, what's going on there? And me Buddha, me Buddha head had disappeared. I only realised when I looked back at their messages, they were devout Christians from Omaha.
Oh.
And yeah, and they'd removed the Buddha and just turned the picture around. And listen, the picture actually was not at all pornographic, and you couldn't see his member or anything. But he actually was a beautifully built black guy, and the shades of grey with the background and on his skin were just absolutely beautiful. You couldn't see anything rude on his body, but he was obviously naked, and it was just too much for them. That and the Buddha, they just took them down. Just saying.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Not very tolerant. They should have turned the other cheek.
Hey, well done. You're good. You're on form today. So we've done Lord Louise. We've done Andrew Horne, Robert Wilson.
Lord Louise also... Jill... She was talking about Jill feel that odd little fit that Jill had about that she felt Krusty was having a go at her.
Mm.
Is this... Do we think this is the onset of some sort of dementia? Because Jill is behaving very oddly, and she's taking violent offence at things that no one else seems to be.
To be fair to Jill, Krusty wasn't off going on. She's got a bee in her bonnet at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she really has taken on the mantle of
Linda.
Linda, and...
But she's... Krusty's like Linda was when she first came to the village. I mean, Linda sort of didn't understand why she wasn't allowed to just walk all over the fields, or, you know, why she had to keep her dog on the lead or anything like that. And Krusty's kind of that sort of level of evangelical animal rights and everything over commercial concerns.
I did think to myself, my initial thought was, well, this is kind of post miscarriage, you know, I'm sensitive to the world and to the planet Gaia type of thing, you know, because she's gone through this kind of tremendous loss. But then she did come in being an eco-warrior, didn't she? It's kind of been forgotten about. So actually,
she trashed the field with
Yeah. That's all the GM crops and stuff. So she's actually just reverting back to type, isn't she? She's always been this big eco-warrior, but it's just been lost in all the Tom sausages and... Helen rescuing, etc. So, but yeah, I just think she's over the top, and I think, you know, Jill, she's been a farmer's wife all of her life, and there was somebody basically attacking the notion of making even tuppence out of, you know, tilling the land, and
but she said everybody had been having a go at her. And the only other person that had a go at her was Pip, who refused to sort through pictures with her.
Mm.
But Pip was in a bad mood because of Toby. You know, she seemed to be acting, and she keeps sort of crying to David all the time as well.
Well,
there's not like her.
No, it's totally like her. Her and David, it's too close.
Mm.
You know, Shula and her aren't as close as her and David. Ditto Elizabeth. Don't even bother mentioning Kenton in the same breath. You know,
yeah,
I think she sees a lot of Phil in our David, you know, this weird relationship. I'll say no more, I think it's just weird.
Claire from Clapham now.
Claire, Hi there, Dum to Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. And as one of the many listeners to The Archers and to also Dumpty Dum who works in affordable housing, feel only obliged to comment on the scheme that's been proposed this week by Justin. Now, I've already gone off on Twitter about this, but if no one's proposed housing on that site before, and I'm willing to bet, I've been looking at the maps, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be outside what's called the village envelope. Thereby, it's not within the existing settlement and it'll be a rural exception site. So it should be mainly for affordable housing, never mind a little bit of affordable housing. And also, if you look around the village, all the people who need affordable housing in Cambridge work at Bridge Farm. So you've got Jazza, he needs a place to stay. And you've got Clary. And you also got Ed and Emma. I know Emma's not a Bridge Farm employee, but she does work and in the tea shop at the Bridge Farm. And then there'll be Johnny as well as he grows up. So would be make more sense for Pat and Tony to develop some kind of scheme where they can have more control and maybe do them as Tide Cottages or something. And for that, I would definitely recommend a community land trust where they could hold the affordable housing in perpetuity. And it's a much better deal for the village. And the loser in that is the landowner. They get less money for the land. But if they weren't planning to sell the land in the first place, to be honest, they'd do better to ensure that their employees are well housed. I'd love to see a community land trust set up there. And then Justin can get the old heave ho and he can see a development go up and he doesn't make any money out of it. Ha, that would be good. However, sadly, I suspect that there'll be some long drawn out battle. There'll be promises of affordable housing. It'll be stuff that no one can afford or they'll get screwed out of it in the end and they'll claim viability issues. And then everyone will be completely jaded. I'd be really sorry to see that happen. I think Pat and Tony have got more sense than just to sell out for a big amount of money and they'd do better long term with a community land trust. Really hope they go down that route. Anyway, keep up the good work. All the best. Bye.
Social housing, homes for all. Rah, rah, rah. Yes, I still don't believe that Justin is going to make any of them social housing. I think he's going to make them all into hideous executive cottages and they're all going to be £85 billion and Lillian will probably buy most of them as an investment opportunity and then rent them out.
It is a brilliant strategy of our Justin. Right, so I'm going to create jobs in the village. There might be smelly, mucky jobs, but I'm going to create jobs. And also I'm going to create homes. And you know what? They kind of go together, everybody. So, you know, I can be a champion over here with the homes thing, right? Yeah. And if you're going to piss me off, you're not going to get the homes if I don't get...
If you want
get...
somewhere to live, exactly. You better like the pigs.
Now, can I just say, this is one of the genius, lovely things about our community, in that Claire from Clapham... Now, I think I can safely say she's a bit of a mate and a mucker now. Right? And I did say to you some weeks ago that I had on Friday 15, and she is some chief executive big wig of the housing associations of England or something or another.
Yeah.
And so she knows about this stuff, right? So, dear listener, if you'd like to hear how much Claire knows about this stuff, go on to Friday 15. It's a few weeks back and she talks about this stuff in depth and it's very good. So that's all I've got to say. Over to you now, Lucy. I've done an advert. I've done a plug.
I do think, regardless of the housing and regardless of that whole storyline, I do think that he would have to build a hell of a lot of houses at really rock bottom prices for me to be able to forgive factory farming of pigs. I love pigs. They are my favourite animal and I've always wanted to have my
really?
Own pig.
Yes. More favourite than an elephant?
Yes.
Than a lion. Oh no.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I love elephants.
I would really, really like to have my own pig in the garden.
Do you like sausages?
Yes.
Mm. And streaky bacon?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
how do you square those two things, then being so intelligent,
well,
but you like eating
the
their flesh?
And we're sensible like that.
Right. Okay.
But I just think that to and I do agree with Krusty, you know, tree hugger as she is, but to keep an animal as intelligent as that and with as many needs as that in a hideous, and I know there's that with the welfare and the welfare kind of basically just means that they're not in actual physical pain. You know, it's, and that their stress levels aren't that high, but you know, they're just such lovely, amazing, brilliant creatures. And the idea of keeping them all inside all the time is just miserable. So yes, he would have to build a hell of a lot of houses for me to be able to forgive that.
Yeah, but quantifiably could get into your good books then. It's just the amount of houses he needs to build.
No, I don't think there's any amount of that.
Really? Is that what you were saying? Yeah. Is that what you meant, but it's not what you said?
That's what I meant, but I wasn't able to formulate that. Warfield.
All right. I think, right, the devil will be in the detail with this housing. If he says... And this is how, there's all these schemes that go up all over London. And because of lax regulation, we allow these property developers to get away with it. But it's a case of, you know, every new development that goes up in London, all these skyscrapers going up, you know, like the Tower of Bloody Babel throughout London. And they say, well, yes, there's going to be a quarter of the homes are going to be affordable. And then they seem to weasel themselves out of it by having the door to the affordable houses another way. Then they manage to sell off some of the affordable housing, etc., etc. So as long as there is strict oversight by the parish council, I'm looking at you, Neil, right? I'm all for this. You know, it's a case of we talk about... rural homelessness, we talk about homelessness full stop within the UK, which is an absolute scandal. And yeah, as long as there is proper oversight, I say let's have mixed developments, but let's have some affordable housing, which is just you know, a modern way of saying social housing. Let's call
Isn't
it what
amazing,
it is,
by the way, that Neil, who is ridden roughshod over by his entire family and half the village, manages to turn into Kofi Annan every time he's operating the council meeting. He's suddenly brilliant. You know, he's handling all the hecklers and he's letting people have their say. And he's, you know, and you just think, who are you?
I've always thought that Neil was a massively underserved character in terms of the amount of airtime he gets.
Yeah.
Because he's a fantastic foil for Susan.
Yeah.
And then he's some champion bell ringer as well. So he does have this other life. He's like Clark Kent and Superman, isn't he? He's like champion bell ringer. And yeah, he rocks at the parish council stuff as well. And let's be honest about it. In the class divide that is Ambridge, Neil shouldn't have that role. He shouldn't. No. His accent is all wrong and whatever.
It should be like Robert Snell or somebody like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or Jimus.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, could you imagine Jimus running the meeting? That would be
all the minutes would be read out in Latin. It'd be awesome.
It's agendum. Oh, that is the end.
Awesome. We've got no emails, have we? Okay, folks, it's that time of the show where we take five, we go do something else for a little bit, and we'll see you the other side with some tip-top yokel bear action.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome. Yeah. For me, and I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me, it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together.
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice.
Hello, I'm Lucy, and this is Walkie Talkie. I walk my dog, Basil, pretty much every day in a foresty bit of London. I have been doing so for about 4 years, and I meet people that, as a dog walker, you talk to people. If your dogs get on, you say, which way are you going? Can I come with you? And you just sort of amble along, and you can end up having the most extraordinary conversations. Partly because you are walking side by side and facing front, so there's no embarrassing eye contact. If things get a bit heavy, if someone starts talking about something that they find emotional or difficult, then you can always divert your attention onto the dogs and relieve the tension a little bit. We've seen, as a group of dog walkers, we've seen people get pregnant, have children. We've seen people whose dogs have become ill and died, and the owner says, oh, I can never have another one, and then in a couple of months' time they appear with a puppy and everyone's delighted to see them. And we've seen people's marriages break down, new romances start. It's a lovely way to start your morning. It never fails to give me something nice to think about, something interesting to think about, even if it's not nice. And having a dog is a sort of a universality, really. The people aren't all like me, as I hope you'll realise over the course of the series.
Leading up to the 1860 election, in walks a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln, who is the Republican candidate. The Republicans to the South represent the ending of slavery. And Lincoln, despite the fact that his sentiment was always in the beginning to preserve the Union rather than to abolish slavery, becomes the lightning rod of anti-Southern sentiment. And he ends up winning the election in 1860 with no support from the South.
The Guardian, Manchester, Tuesday, November 20th, 1860. Summary of news, foreign. The details respecting the presidential election furnished by the New York journalist, not complete, but they not only assure us of Mr. Lincoln's election, but show that the Republican Party has obtained far more than the requisite number of votes for his return. It is calculated that New York, Pennsylvania, the New England states, New Jersey, and the Northwestern states give him 171 electoral votes, or 19 more than the majority required for the election, the total number of electoral votes being 303. It is not improbable, too, that this majority may be further swelled by the result of the elections in the Pacific states of Oregon and California. We have no account of the manner in which the Southerners have received the intelligence of Mr. Lincoln's election. The next advices will no doubt be filled with fierce Southern declamations and protest, but it's not very likely that any Southern states will do anything mere than talk loudly about secession.
Listen to the first show exclusively on Mixcloud today and subscribe to us on iTunes. From Washington to Obama, 10 American Presidents, the new podcast from Royfield Brown.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yoko Bear here calling with the social media roundup. Starting off the week on the Book of Face, talked a little bit about this housing plan and whether Pat and Tony should sell that bit of land. And we talked about inheritance, you know, who inherits what and what have you. Joanne Smith says, will nobody think of Helen's legal fees? This could wipe out that debt in one fell swoop, and there'd be extra left to pay for Tom's wedding that he skipped out on. No, actually, Joanne, I don't think Tom's going to get married very soon. It's a bit miserable at the moment. Jenny Allen and Clive Davis also post some really interesting stuff about affordable housing and how that works. So go and have a look at those posts because they were quite interesting. Paul Taylor says, though, blimey, what with the pigs, the housing development, quote, taking care of Lillian, and all that stuff on Albert Square, I just don't know where Justin gets all his energy from. Yeah, he's a bit active, isn't he, really? On inheritance, Joe DeBank says, Johnny's going to be fine because he's going to marry Lillian after years of friendship. And both of them going out with other unsuitables, so he'll be fine. Well, that's good, really, isn't it? Scott Matthewman says, I can't see Ruth and David turning down the chance to balance their books. We also talked a little bit about Toby and this whole thing about him not being friends with Pip anymore, and whether it was a burst of self-awareness and honesty from him. Was he being mature? Well, Valerie Bayliss doesn't think so. She said, nah, it's just him trying to move away from his 5K debt. And Martin van der Hoevel, well, he wasn't impressed with Toby. He said, what a pathetic drama queen. Terry Gardner says, but yeah, it is a good mood. He's in survival mode, but it's a good move. Also, we had a really fun post. The rules were, which three people would you invite to a dinner party if you were holding one in Ambridge, and which one person would you snub? There are far too many to read out, to read through all of them. Lillian came out really well. A lot of people mentioned Lillian. Also, Jim was mentioned a lot in the same sentences, but there you go. Jeremy Renwick, though, says, let's be mercenary. A dinner party of Justine, Lillian and Elizabeth, the money of the village, plus a single businesswoman of means, round about Jeremy's age, has all the right business connection. Yes, I think that's just a business meal, isn't it, Jeremy? Also, as well, Rupert Brun said, and a lot of people echoed this, Susan for the gossip, because she invented alternative facts. Yeah, I think you might be right there. There was a lot of love for Jim and Jazza, Jolene. Brian got a few invites, which surprised me a little bit, but, you know, what can you do? Andrew White was quite representative and said, Lillian and Ian and Susan equals a fabulous time, but no Eddie Grundy. However, Andrew White also said, would not mind a private dinner with Charlie Thomas. Well, yeah, Andrew, you keep your hands off him. I saw him first, OK? Back off. So yeah, it's a really fun thread, that one. So go and have a look at it. There's loads and loads and loads of different combinations of who you would take. Also as well, on the forum this week, a big hello to a new poster called Fat Friend, who is an American who'd lived all of their life in adult life in the UK. And their first character they remember is Neil Carter, when he came back to Brookfield as a teenager, and as they put it, was ever so good friends with Shula. Indeed. Also as well, going back to the whole money and land thing, Cosmo's got a really good post on the forum about whether they should take the money, whether Pat and Tony should take the money. Basically, no. Said to sit tight and tell Justin to take a run and jump. I probably trust Cosmo on that one because he knows his stuff, doesn't he? Also as well, Audrian Kuvarubius said, does it have to be Freddy who takes over and inherits from his mother? Yeah, I noticed that this week too. Mention about Freddy's inheritance. What about Lily? Because let's face it, that whole thing about her sorting out the flowers, I think that's a bit of an indicator who's going to be taking over at Lower Loxie. Anyway, that's me done for this week. So, cheerio!
Thank you for that, King of the Yokels, Mr. Yokel Bear. Lucy,
mm-hmm.
can you hit us with some rather delicious tweets?
This was, I think, on Sunday, just to be serious for a minute, on Sunday everybody was feeling very low after the London Bridge attack. But Smith Peter Scott put it very nicely and said, I was not in the mood for the tweet along, but I decided the British thing to do would be to make rude jokes about Pip. Quite right. I was very proud of the tweet alongers. Everybody just got on with it and had a cup of tea and made sniggery jokes about the archers. Hoorah! Right. Viv RH was also talking about pigs, like I was, and she said, they're intelligent, they have a great sense of smell, and they taste delicious. Helen Sib said, the world has changed. We are all Linda Snell, apart from Justin Elliott, Brian, and Donald Trump. I love the fact that we can equate Justin, Brian, and Donald Trump all together. Ackley Lewis said, Pip is operating heavy machinery whilst Toby shrieks, cooey! And waves his hanky. I think that is progress. I really like that bit when she stopped and went, what do you want? After he leapt around shouting, woohoo, Pip. And this is Tweet of the Week, Loma Lindy, who says, admittedly, that she was cross when she tweeted this, but it made me laugh. Johnny, grow a pair. Rex, you never had a pair. Toby, get rid of yours. Very good.
That's very, very good. Very good. Oh, I love being part of the greater Archers community. There's some very clever people there. There are. Dumdydum.com, folks, is where you can go and find our website. You go onto the interwebs, you type in dumtdum, which is dumtdum.com. You go there, you see cats, dogs, people talking about stuff, all generally round about the Archers. That's the kind of the general focus. Also on that self-same website, you can find Tractor, which is a way for you to pin yourself to a map, pin yourself to our map of the world, and then you can see which dum-de-dum Archer obsessive person lives close by you, and then possibly you can meet up with them, have a coffee. Also on dum-de-dum.com, there is the forum. A certain amount of life has been breathed into it this week, and we need to keep that going. So for the love of all things holy, I beseech ye, get your ass onto the Dum-de-dum forum and let's keep that thing going. Awesome. No map of the week this week. I had a couple, but I'm storing them up. So, message to you, good listener. If you love a map, tweet me a map in the next 7 days and it'll be on the map section next week. Now, Lucy,
mm-hmm.
How many ways can people help to keep our little show on the road?
Two, sorry. If you would like to help,
I went off script. Show, I'm sorry.
On the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site,
or you can go.
It's not there. Or you can sponsor us at Patreon.
Yeah.
Thanking you.
And it's $2 a show, and there are some 40 odd of you that Patreon to us each month, and we're internally grateful. Because just this week...
I said it eternally, didn't I? It sounded like internally grateful.
Well, the recording will determine exactly what I said. I know that I meant to say eternally, but it's quite possible
being internally grateful.
Oh, shush. Now, just to tell you folks how your cash holder does go and help keep our little show on the road. SpeakPipe, that facility costs £106, which is a rather funny sum of money, but £106 annually, and the bill for SpeakPipe has just come in. So the monies which we got in last month will go to pay for SpeakPipe. And kind of without SpeakPipe, this is only half the show, of this is only half the show. So that shows you how important your donations actually are. So we're not living in the lap of luxury off of your donations. Not yet, anyway. We need Cosmo to do our books, then maybe he can sort that out for us.
We need Kent to do our books, then we would.
Oh, God, no. Remember, folks, to get in contact with us. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe, which just said costs £106 a year for that facility. Or you can call us via Vitel, which is a wonderful donation. Actually, Lucy, you know this. They give us this facility, don't they?
I know. They're so kind.
Yeah.
We have to thank you to them for ages. Thank you.
Thank you. You're awesome, Vitel. So thanks for that. You can call us on their number, which is 0203-031-3105 to leave us a telephonic message, as Goddess Diva always does. Now, on social media, specifically Twitter, you can find us where we're at DumDeeDum. And that's me and Lucy and Harriet and Yokel Bear and Millie Bell. And if you just want to find me, though, I struggle to understand the reason why anybody would really follow me on the Twitters, but I'm actually at Royfield. And Harriet is at, what's she at, Lucy?
Shambridges.
Awesome. Now, on Facebook, you can find us by simply typing in DumDeeDum. You don't need me to tell you how to spell that, and all manner of fun and hilarity goes on there. Now, Lucy, we're at the end of the show. Any passing shots, any end thoughts? I saw Wonder Woman this week.
Did you? What did you think?
I really quite liked it. They've got a pitch perfect in terms of, so she's this Greek, this demigod, and she's never seen a man before. So there are certain scenes which are quite funny, where she sees Steve Trevor in the buff and she said, "What's that?" type of thing. But also she has this wide-eyed naivety about the world, and they play that really well with the fact that she's just a kick-ass warrior and she can just take anybody down. She's absolutely rock hard. So the line between her being tough but also naive is, you know, carefully tread, and you absolutely believe her romance with Steve Trevor. This is one, in terms of them as a couple falling in love and him admiring her and her learning some stuff about him, about actually how the world really does work, I actually thought it was actually really quite beautiful. And so it has lots of heart.
Aww.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And I read Ron Review, and it was a press showing, and the guy said, so, you know, the title sequence rolled, and this woman stood up and said, "I've been waiting 30 odd years to see Wonder Woman in film," and started clapping in before the thing had started.
Okay.
No, it's a very good film. The only thing I would say, too many, for me anyway, heroic fight sequences which were done in slow-mo, and the final scene, which was all death and destruction where she defeats the baddie, was typically DC and all dark and fire like Batman versus Superman. But actually the heart of that film, absolutely quite brilliant, and the switcheroo on the baddie was genius. Absolute genius. I didn't see who the baddie actually was coming at all, and some people have actually said that the generally what you have in these kind of movies is, you know, the protagonist and the antagonist know each other from day dot, and it's about their relationship, And they didn't know that each other existed, but there's a great switcheroo in it, and I thought that was very clever. So yeah, I recommend everyone go see it, and not just girly whirlies and big girly whirlies that once were girly whirlies that remember Linda Carter in the 1970s spinning and flying in an invisible jet. Very good film.
She was great. I loved her.
Yeah, you and half the planet. The amount of agonising dreams I had to Linda Carter and the Bionic Woman, age 7. It's like, oh, I was convinced I was going to marry the Bionic Woman. Convinced.
The Bionic Woman?
Yeah.
Why not Wonder Woman?
You know what? I don't get me wrong. I really like Linda Carter. But there was something about the curled lip of the Bionic Woman that she just actually did it for the little 7-8-year-old me. Oh. And I just went to sleep saying, I remember praying, please God, when I grow up, can I marry the Bionic Woman? Oh. Serious. Me and my cousin were just, she'd come on and you just go, oh, just that, yeah. Bionic Woman.
I was like that about Peter Purvis.
Oh, how do you feel about Mr. Noakstein passing away?
Get down, Shep. Well, yes, it's very sad. Mm. But he was very ill, so not that sad.
All right. So tell me about you and your Peter Purvis obsession.
No, that was a joke. I didn't really have an obsession with Peter Purvis.
Really? Also, his name sounds rather rude, doesn't it? The alliteration on the P. Pervy Peter Purvis. No, I'm not saying that you are, Peter.
You're the only one of the 1970s that wasn't pervy.
So, Lucy, we've done Wonder Woman. Are you going to go and see it?
No.
Why not?
I don't do that, do I? I don't like superhero things and I don't like the cinema.
But you like Greek mythology because you like the classics.
I am a miserable old cow. That's what I am.
Miserable you are sometimes. Old you are not. A cow, in temperament, maybe, but definitely not in physiologically. You are actually a Homo sapien. But, Luce, go take your kids there at the weekend. Okay. Or get Simon to take them there. It's a great thing. Your little daughter will come back all kind of like, you know, women can kick ass too. There's
she is already. I didn't need any more.
Oh, she was teaching you how to Millie Rock yesterday, wasn't she?
Yeah. Now, she was saying, don't tell anybody I've told you this and don't do it in public and don't blah, 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 blah.
Is she rather good at it?
She's okay. William's really good,
mm-hmm.
but he won't teach me. So she'll teach me grudgingly. But it's really hard. I really enjoy it though. I'm really crap at it.
I'm sure you're not.
It's really good for you to do something that you are absolutely shit at, I think.
Well, it's all...
And just get very, very, very slowly better. But really slowly. But I just... It's quite addictive, all these... Because I was looking up all these different dances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting where they all come from and all that sort of thing.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And how... Each generation, each kind of community latches onto something. And in effect, all they're ever doing is just rebadging something which happened before. With the arrogance of youth, you think that, no, this was invented by such and such. And this came out of Detroit in blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And this is from the, you know, the projects in Philly.
Tilly was talking about cutting shapes. She was showing me cutting shapes. And I said, that's basically the Charleston. And she said, the what? And I showed her it and she said, oh God, it is.
No,
and it's really
absolutely
odd.
Absolutely. The first time I saw that, I went, that's 1920s dancing.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, no, this is this new move. I saw everyone's doing it in the clubs. I went, yeah. I think you'll find. Don't get me wrong. It's skillful. It looks great. But I think you'll find, it's been done about 90 years ago. And I'm sure the first person that bust that move dancing to jazz in the 1920s, you know, one of their grandfathers tapped them on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Actually, we were doing that back in the 1840s. But anyway. All right, Lucy, this has been a pleasure.
Good.
Right then.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So am I taking next week off? Are you going to do it with Mr. Naked Fingers?
How do I get hold of him or whatever?
Twitter, I think.
Very carefully.
But I'll reach out, shall I?
Oh dear.
Yes, I'll Yes, I'll get my people to speak to his people, and we'll make the said same arrangement. All right, toodaloo.
All right, see ya.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.